بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله رب العالمين، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، أما بعد. يا أيها الذين آمنوا، يقول الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن العظيم، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، وقرن في البيوت كنا ولا تبرجنا تبرج الجهل أولى، وقرن في بيوت كنا ولا تبرجنا تبرج الجاهلية الأولى. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يحل لامرأة تؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر تسافر مسيرة يوم وليلة إلا مع ذي محرم عليها. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And brothers and sisters, let us always remember to praise Allah and make dhikr, to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We seek refuge with Allah. We seek His protection and His guidance. We seek His nur, His light. We seek His help. And brothers and sisters, there is no help except the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We bear witness that there is nothing or no one worthy of worship except Allah alone. He has no partners and no associates. There is nothing like Him at all. Laysa kamithlihi shay. There is nothing like Him at all. We depend upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Allah's messenger. Not only do we believe that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, we follow him. We obey his instructions. We believe in him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give his blessings upon his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon his family members, and the great Sahaba, and the Muslims everywhere. Brothers and sisters, you have to know for this khutbah that I'm going to give you, you have to know this, that whomever Allah guides cannot be misguided. And if Allah allows you to be misguided, no one can bring you to Sirat al-Mustaqim, to the straight path, no one. I make dua today, especially in this khutbah, this sermon, that everyone here may be blessed by the words of Allah and the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because what I'm about to say, you must believe in Allah and the Messenger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. He's speaking to the women, specifically to the wives of the Prophet, but to women in general. قرن في بيوتكن. Stay quietly in your homes. وَلَا تَبَرَجْنَا تَبَرُجَ الْجَاهَلِيَةِ الْأُولَى. And do not make a dazzling display as you made in the days of jahiliyyah, the days of ignorance from before. The theme of my khutbah is this hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لَا يَحِلُّ. It is not permissible. It is not halal. لا يحل لمرأة, for a woman, for a woman. تؤمنوا بالله ويوم الآخر, who believes in Allah and the last day. تسافروا, to travel. مسيرة, a distance, a journey. يوم وليلة. إلا مع ذي محرم عليها. It is not permissible for a woman to travel a distance of a day or a night without the mahram alayha, without those males from her family that she can never marry. It is not permissible. It's not halal. For a woman who believes in Allah on the last day, not any woman, but a woman who believes in Allah and the last day, it is not permissible for them to travel a distance, a journey of a day and a night, illa, except ma'a, with the mahram. Who's the mahram? The mahram, her father. She can never marry him. She can travel with him anytime, anywhere. Her uncle, her father's brother, he's the mahram. Her grandfather, her brother, her son, her grandson, she's allowed to travel anywhere, everywhere with them. Father, grandfather, uncle, brother, son, grandson. This is the mahram. These are men she can never marry. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to make a clarification for some of you who do not know. Kissing cousins is not ذو محرم. What do you mean, kissing cousins? Cousins in Islam, men and women, cousins, first, second, third, or whatever, are permitted to marry. This custom is very popular in many Muslim countries, especially in Pakistan. It's common first cousins to marry. In many of the Arabian countries, it's customary for first cousins to marry. In Sudan, it's customary. It's done all the time. It's not haram. In the United States, some states, you can't marry your cousin. It's illegal. But Allah and His Messenger determines what's legal. So, brothers and sisters, what that means is that you cannot be alone, secluded, with your female cousin. She's like another strange woman. Why? Because in Islam, you are permitted to marry her. Now, لا يحل, it is not permitted. Stop. If you're a Muslim, when you hear this word, لا يحل, it's not permitted, you stop. Because you don't want to do anything haram. What does Allah and His Messenger allow us to do? What is the limit? لا يحل, it is not permitted. لمرأتين, a woman. تؤمنوا بالله ويوم الآخر, who believes in Allah on the last day. Stop. Not every woman is going to accept this. But the women who will accept it are those who believe in Allah and the last day. يوم الآخر. They want the hereafter more than they want this. Now, brothers and sisters, let me stop here and say this. There are going to be some Muslims who are going to say, Brother Siraj, really, this hadith, don't discuss it. Because we have many women who travel for many reasons. Don't discuss this. Leave things alone. But I have to discuss this. You know why? Because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam discussed it many times. And I believe, brothers and sisters, we have to understand this hadith. Because you know why? Often we are in violation of this hadith, and there are consequences in this life and in the hereafter for violating this hadith. I want to spend a few moments to explain what it means and why. Masha'Allah. I want to tell you the context, circumstances under which this hadith was given, or hadith similar to it. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that it's not permissible for a woman to travel a journey at a distance of a day and a night. One hadith says 2 days and two nights. Even another hadith says 3 days and three nights without husband or dhu mahram. Husband is also included in that. He's not dhu mahram, but he's a husband, and he can take her anywhere and travel with her. And so one of the Sahaba, he heard the Prophet say that. And you see, brothers and sisters, about these companions, when they heard something from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they wanted to make sure they understood it and they wanted to apply it. So he stood up. It said, a man stood up and said, O Messenger of Allah, my wife intends to make Hajj, but I am fighting this ghazwa, this war, this jihad, fi sabilillah. I'm fighting, and my wife, she wants to make Hajj. Why he raised the question? Because the Prophet just said it. Before this hadith, he had no problem. His wife is going to make Hajj. She has to travel. No problem. Because that was the custom of the people. No problem. But since the Prophet said, La yahillu, it's not permitted, he said, uh-oh, I got a problem. My problem is my wife wants to make Hajj, and I am fighting jihad fi sabilillah. Hajj, Hajj. يقول الله سبحانه وتعالى ولله على الناس حج بيتي من استطاع عليه سبيلا. It is mandatory for man. He owes a duty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make Hajj. Man and women, nas. So she has to make Hajj. It's fard. It's fard, it's mandatory. So my wife wants to make Hajj, but I'm doing jihad. What should I do? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, go with your wife to make Hajj. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam took a man from jihad to do what? To accompany his wife for Hajj. Now, brothers and sisters, let me take a few moments to say this. Our problem here is that we as Muslims even want to change the word of Allah and His Messenger rather than change the customs of the society. We always have a problem with what Allah and His Messenger say, always, and never have a problem with what the Kufas say. Now, brothers and sisters, I've been saying all over, the Western society goes against Islam, the European society, the American society. But really, I should use another word, another term. It's the Kufr society. Kufr. It's the society of unbelievers. Because Muslims are not against the West. No. We're not against America, per se. We're not against Europe. No. But what we are against those who violate the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these are rebels against the guidance of Allah, against Quran, and against Sunnah. And you know what happens? Muslims, because they live in the West and become accustomed to the ways of the West, whenever something Islamic comes, they question it. Well, why? I'll give you an example. Sheikh Jaffer Idris gave us this example. We eat pork in this society. Not Muslims, but non-Muslims, they eat pork. Khanzir. And you say to them, brother, madam, don't eat pork. This is not good meat for you. Why can't we eat pork? Why? But if they went to another society where people were eating rats, you say, why are you eating these rats? So when you come tell a person, don't eat rats, if they're used to eating rats, they question you. Why are you crazy? And so it is with pork. And so it is with every injunction from Allah and His Messenger. You know, brothers and sisters, these Muslim women, subhanAllah, how modest they are. Every day, the American women in Kuf society, taking their clothes off, Here's a sister, she just comes in Islam today. She puts her clothes on.
Why?
Because she learns the light. She learns huda. She learns guidance. But the people of this society, they laugh at Muslim women who cover. They make mockery of them. They laugh at them. Why? Because they cover. They cover themselves and the garments are loose-fitting, as they're supposed to be. But they why you do that? Another thing. Every masjid I go to across the United States of America and in Europe, they ask the same question. Brother Imam, what about interest? Can't we in America, can't we in England, can't we in France, can't we in the non-Islamic society, can't we involve in interest? No. Why can't we do it? It's done in the non-Islamic society. You become accustomed to it. You like it. And then when Allah and His Messenger comes with guidance, you question Allah and His Messenger. Now, brothers and sisters, me, I make no apologies for anything in Quran or Sunnah. I don't. Now, I'm telling you, you're going to find imams who differ with Brother Siraj. Yeah, I'm telling you now. Someone say, Brother Siraj, why do you teach this hadith? Why do I teach it? Because Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught it many times in many places. And brothers and sisters, believe me, in the next few moments, if you understand the wisdom of this hadith, you know what? You would never, ever, ever allow your wife again to travel a distance of a day or a night without muharramah, nor your daughters, nor your mother, nor your aunts, nor your granddaughters. Now let me stop here and say this. You brothers, me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put on our shoulder responsibility. What responsibility? Dhu mahram. Dhu mahram. Maybe you have daughter, wife, granddaughters, niece. You have sisters. Then you have a responsibility. What's your responsibility? You dhu mahram. I'm saying to you, brothers, not only some women ought not travel a distance of a day and night by themselves, they shouldn't even be by themselves, some of these women and men. In fact, brothers and sisters, I go a step further. Some women from this society, including some Muslim women, ought to be locked up in protective custody against themselves. Oh, Brother Siraj, why are you doing this? You know why I'm doing it? Because I'm looking, brother, down the road of our ummah. Tomorrow, next year, 10 years from now. You know what's going to determine what kind of ummah we have? You, brother, dhu mahram. According to what your job is going to be. Some of your young girls, the sisters and your daughters, you may let them go on a bus ride. Oh, it's just a bus ride to Bear Mountain? Just a bus ride to Great Adventures? Just a bus ride. But some of them don't have enough taqwa. And when they don't have enough God fear, then they must have a man to be with them. Not just any man, her husband, her father, her brother, her son, her uncle, her grandfather. Why? Because you don't know the dangers of this society. You don't. Brothers, you want to learn the condition of the women? Get on a bus, man. Get on a train. Park your car and get on a train and a bus and listen to the conversation of the young girls and the women, wives and mothers and grandmothers. Listen to their conversation on the buses and the trains and in the street. Watch the way they look like. Listen to the talk shows and you find out the women in this society are ruined. They're messed up. They're destroyed. Why? Because they have no taqwa. They have no guidance and they don't have no men that know how to protect their women. Get on a train And every once in a while, I park my car and get on a train. Because you see what happens a lot on the train. Every time, wallahi, I swear by Allah, every time there's a woman alone, some guy hit on her. Ask your wives, brother, who take trains. Men bump up next to them, squeeze them and touch them. That's what happens on the buses and the trains. You ask them, brother, if you don't believe me. Ask your wives and your daughters and your sisters. Every woman out there alone is vulnerable. And listen, I said, stop for a while. This woman is some man's wife. He's rapping to her. He's talking to her like she's like their buddies. They get next to them even on the train and talk to them, rap to them. Sometimes they touch them. Your wives. But you know what? Sometimes your wives don't tell you because they're afraid. Yeah. Yeah, they do. And you know what I noticed? Whenever a woman is with a man, men got nothing to say. Oh, I better be cool. You got nothing to say. Why? Because that's a man there. And you open your mouth, you're liable to get your tongue pulled out your mouth. Don't even look at the woman. Not a Muslim woman. Because she say, I'm Muslim, but her dress, man, you better get out her face. You better leave her alone. She's trying to be righteous. What you want to rap to her for? Can you imagine now a woman go traveling a long distance by herself? And you know something? These men out there look at these women. They'll say, oh, there's a nice righteous one. Let me go talk to her. Salaam, salam, sister. I want to know something about this Islam. Can you tell me something about this Islam? Well, tell me about the Quran. Tell me about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yeah, because they're smart and slick. So our wives, our daughters, our mothers, our granddaughters, they're talking to them. And so now our young, sweet, innocent daughter gets on a bus and she goes travel to another city. She's so nice and pious. You know something, brothers? You know how many millions of women who've been raped in this society? Men in this society so sick, they see a woman now, she belongs to me. And they rape women? Men, brother, rape a man's wife. And know what that does? You ever follow up to see what happens to a woman who's raped, who's married? How it breaks up family? She can't perform anymore. He can't perform because somebody came and violated man, his wife? How many women are scarred for life? They have this because men violate them. And it's every day in America, every hundreds of thousands a year, that's reported. And they said 53% of the women don't even report it. Rape, stared at, touched, violated. And so Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says with wisdom, it's not permissible for a woman who believes in Allah on the last day that they travel a journey of a day or a night without Muharramat, without their husband. And let me say to sisters as I close, well, these are modern times. These are different times. Women are liberated. Women work on jobs, and sometimes the job requires the wife to travel for the job. So, Miss Muhammad, Miss Aisha, Miss Fatima, you have to go away for a week. Got to go to California. Miss Muhammad says, no problem. But I'm bringing my husband with me. Why you want to do that? I want to do that because my Lord, I can't travel by myself. I want my husband to be with me. What's the matter with you? You don't like that? Well, I thought that, you know, we can talk the business of the company. No problem. But my husband come with me. Brothers, wouldn't that make you feel good? Your wife tell them, yeah, I'll go, but my husband. Or my son. Or my brother. Because this is Islam, you see? This is Islam. But you don't want Islam. You want to be free. You want to be like the Kufa women. You want to be like them and do what they do. Not here. Oh, but my dad, honey, you just give me permission. I'm sorry, don't ask me permission. I can't make halal what Allah and His Messenger make haram. I can't do it. No, don't ask me. I'm not going to do it. Don't ask me. Go to somebody else. Don't ask me. I want to do what Allah and His Messenger say do. You know why? Because in it is wisdom and guidance. And brothers and sisters, you will see. Everything they do in this society, everything goes against Allah and the Messenger. And you know what? Some sisters are going to protest what I'm saying. They don't like it. Some of them. I don't mean all of them. Some of you don't like it. Did you hear? You hear what the Imam say? He going to put us in prison now. Good. Be in prison for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah smiles on those who come to Jannah in chains. Fight some battle, fi sabilillah, capture prisoners, and then the prisoners accept Islam, and they become Muslims, and they go to paradise as a result of being captured in a war against Islam. So if we could guide our women, then inshallah, they may not like it, but if you take it, it'd be good for them and us. Yes, it'd be good for them and us. You see, brothers, in my conclusion, I'm tired of Muslim men coming to me, say, Brother Imam, my wife committed adultery. My Muslim wife committed adultery is a servant of the wife. They know. We don't know. So what is hadith? What is it? It is preventive medicine. Preventive medicine. You heard it said of old, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. This society, they spend so much on the cure, but they forget about the prevention. How silly they are. You riding in your car. You come to a light right next to the corner. So, oh, should I take this light? It's just turning. He said, oh, let me take it. And as soon as you take the light, hiding is a police car. Hiding, sneaking around so nobody can see them. So you go past the light. Here they come with the siren on and give you a ticket. That's not prevention. Prevention is go out there, be seen. Let them see you. Let them see you so they won't go past the red light. Why are you hiding? Because you want them to break the law. No prevention. I'll give you another example. This society. They got police women who dress up like prostitutes. Police women who dress up like prostitutes and they entice men. And when men come there, they arrest them for soliciting prostitution. But if they put on a uniform and stood out there where the prostitutes are, no customers. They don't want prevention. They're sick. This is a sick society, and Muslims who are in it are becoming sick just like them. And then when the truth comes, they don't want to hear it. When purity comes, they don't want to hear it because they want to continue to do the sickness that they're doing. I hate this society. I hate the way it is. I hate kufr. You want to see what a kufr society is? You want to see why we have such strong laws? Look at America. When you look at America, you see why. Sick. Surrounded by sick. Every kind of evil is here. Every kind of evil you want is here. And soon, your family is going to be affected by it. Don't let them travel. Don't let them travel a distance of a night and day without Muharramat. Why? Prophet said it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd. Brothers and sisters, I just wanted to make a couple of points and then we go, inshallah. I was watching the news about 3 weeks ago, and the camera had focused on some birds in Washington, D.C. And whenever a person walked past this tree, the birds would swoop down and attack them, peck them on the head. And you see the human beings doing this, and oh, you know, the birds swoop down on them. And I was watching, I said, man, isn't this amazing? These little bitty birds attacking the big human being. And they were, well, why? Why these birds, little bitty birds attacking this human being? You know why they were attacking them? Because in the tree was a nest. And they were protecting their nest. And you know what? They didn't care the size of the enemy. And really, those humans weren't too close. But instinctively, they were protecting their nest. And I said, oh man, what a lesson for us. Birds protecting their nest. Men protecting their ummah. Muslim men protecting their interests. Muslim men, wise, alert. You say, well, Imam, just one hadith? No. Just one of many hadiths on many subjects that we have to talk about. This is one. You know, brothers and sisters, in my conclusion, some sisters may raise the question that this hadith shows that there is a mistrust of women, that maybe Allah doesn't trust women. Uh-uh. No, sisters. Allah created you with the nature He created you with. This hadith is not because Allah don't trust women. Sisters, Allah trusted you enough to give Maryam Prophet Jesus, alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala trusted Amina with Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah trusted the mother Moses. Allah trusts women. How so? He gives the woman His ummah, and His ummah comes through the woman. Everyone comes through the woman. Everyone. It's the trust Allah has for the woman. Sometimes women violate the trust. Sometimes men violate the trust. But He trusts women. But He knows the nature of human beings. So therefore, He gives us laws with respect to the nature of the human being. So He says, don't travel without Muharramat. And sisters, think about this. One of the problems that we have in the Muslim society is that the men and women are not as close as they should be. And the families. Sisters, if you want something for the little girls to do, they want to go somewhere, why not plan it so Muharramat can go with them? Yeah. And brothers, I say this to you, Dhu Mahram, in the spirit of this hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I remind you, that was something farz. Our women may ask us to do something that's not farz, but they want to have entertainment. They want to have fun. Should they be allowed to have entertainment and fun? Yes, they should. They need an outlet. They need some time to get out, and they need to socialize. This is good. They need entertainment. This is good. The entertainment should be halal. This is good. No problem. But what if they want to go far? They want to go to Los Angeles. They want to go to San Francisco. They want to go to Florida. They want to go to Africa. Should we let them go? Yes. Go with them. Go with them. I want to go. You see, brothers and sisters, in this society, the women in this society, you know what they're into? Even husband and wives. Well, I want me a separate vacation. I want to go by myself. I need to go by myself. You want to go by yourself? You want to go vacation by yourself? Yeah, I need to go by myself. That's what they say in this society. Now Muslim women start mimicking them too. I want to go separate vacation. No, together. These young men, brothers, daughters, sons, fathers, grandfathers, take them with you. And I close with this, brothers. Something for you to think about. I'm being honest with you. Some of these women, we might as well let them go by themselves because the Dhu Mahram is so weak that he let her do what she wanted to do anyway. Brother, listen to me, young brother. You got a sister? I'm telling you, you protect your sister. You watch over your sister and don't you let no man get next to your sister. Hear me, brother? Protect your sister. Look after them. Some brothers turn their backs, go ahead and do what you have to do. It's okay. What kind of Dhu Mahram are you? Allah give you the responsibility, uphold it. Say, brother, what you talking to my sister about? What you want, brother? So you have to be. Dhu Mahram, strong. Strong. Brothers, your wives, be nice to them, be sweet, but firm. No, honey, you can't do that. No. But why not? Because the Prophet said it right there. This is what we want from this Ummah, this Jama'ah. We want firmness. We want men being men. Hear me, brother? Hear what I'm telling you? We want men being men. Stand up and guide this Ummah. You know why? Because if we don't, we die. Be weak with them women, and our Ummah is destroyed. Let them do what they want to do, and to finish. We finish. We finished. Firm, but nice and humble. Help them. Go with them. Do things with them. But don't let them go by themselves. Be like the bird in Washington, D.C. Anybody come near the nest? Strike them. Strike them. Because your Ummah is going to come from the wombs of those women. Let's put shyness back in these women. Lost the shyness. They're like the women in the streets. Lost the shyness. In olden days, the Muslim women were so shy. We need to get back to that. Back to righteousness. Now, brothers and sisters, may Allah bless us. Please, brothers, don't take it wrong. You yourself must first be the example of righteousness. You stay out the faces of women, so it's easy for them to stay out the faces of men. Teach them. Go together for learning and develop taqwa and iman, righteousness. Let us be dedicated to righteousness. That's what we want, righteousness. And sisters, you'd be so happy to have a righteous man who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't have to worry about him because he fears Allah. And so it is with a righteous woman, brother. When you have a righteous woman, you have nothing to worry about because you know she loves and fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah bless us, brothers and sisters. Help us. Have mercy upon us. O Allah, guide us to Sirat al-Mustaqim. O Allah, open up our hearts and make us to love your commandments and the commandments of your Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. O Allah, give us the willpower to accept your decree. O Allah, make the Muslims strong as not to follow the ways of the disbelievers. Follow not the ways of those who came before us, but let us follow the ways of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. O Allah, increase in your ummah knowledge and understanding of your Sharia. Make us to love Al-Quran and make us to love the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. O Allah, make these men firm and knowledgeable and righteous. Make our women firm, knowledgeable, and righteous. O Allah, bless our husbands and wives with righteousness. O Allah, bless our children to be obedient to you, your messenger, and to their parents. O Allah, make this community tight and loving, respecting your deen. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make these Muslims with the guiding lights examples for the people of America and the people of Europe and the people of the West and all the rest of the Kufa society. O Allah, help us and give us the hidayah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad wa ala azwaji Muhammad wa ala dhuriyati Muhammad wa sallam taslimin kathira. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك الرحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار والحمد لله رب العالمين.